following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Happy Sunday. Welcome back to Corolla Classics for May 19th, 2019. We love having you here. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of The Adam Corolla Show, along with Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Good morning and happy Sunday, everybody.
For those who are just tuning in, this is a show where we highlight the best of The Adam Corolla Show over the last 10-plus years. A lot of highlights, Gio. We're going to present them. We're going to give them to the people. And speaking of giving them to the people, the entire show today are all listener requests. We have to do some of these episodes, Gio. Our emails are flooded. Our DMs are flooded. Our Twitter mentions.
I was archiving emails till 4 a.m., getting rid of the ones we've already done, so I only had the ones left that we still hadn't found. And these are some really choice clips that people have picked out.
Yes.
Starting with Adam Carolla Show episode 60. This is from the original format. This is the first appearance of Richard Martin, which is played by Paul Gilmartin, a recurring character and bit he did on the Adam Carolla Morning Show from 2006 through 2009. In this very special episode, he brings his wife Jazz, played by Maria Bamford, making her only in-character appearance on the show. This is great because Adam is in full interview a character mode, much like with Jack in the Box and other characters he does. It puts him in a very interesting straight man role. It's very funny. Why don't you read the request from Taterbug?
All right, Taterbug tweets us, "Hey, y'all, Corolla Classics is a new favorite. I'd love to hear some Representative Richard Martin if you get a chance. Get it on." Well, Taterbug, let's. From 2009, Representative Richard Martin and his wife Jazz.
I want to welcome back to the show. Now, he's not been on the podcast before, but you remember him from my very successful and short-lived radio show, Republican Representative Richard Martin, and he's brought his wife with him.
That's right. This is Jazz Hi. Martin, and my wife of 9 years.
9 years.
Nine years.
She's just a neat little gal, and I thought she's traveling with me out here to California. Why not bring her and introduce her to Adam Corolla?
The Corolla.
And is it Corolla?
You were representative from Ohio.
Still am.
Oh, I thought you'd entered the private sector.
No, the private sector was before. I was CEO of Ohio Petroleum and Synthetics. Mm-hmm. And we were, well, what happened was there was a drought in the Ohio River Valley one summer, and I decided the patriotic thing to do would be to contribute to the water level from my industrial complex, but not draw attention to it, because that's what patriots do.
Sure.
You know, point out, well, the liberal media got a hold of it, and you know how they like to spin things.
Spin things. Yeah.
They wanted to call it pollution, and a couple of overly litigious lawyers representing the hysterical mothers of 2 very slightly deformed children led to
Why
me.
Why don't they accept it as a gift?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, all kids are sort of gifts. Yeah. They don't have to all be perfect little Easter eggs.
We have our daughter, Reagan, who's biologically our child. The other two are not. And she's not technically blind, but she wears these terrible glasses and a... you know, we've started going to events for blind children, and it's just a hoot. It's so much fun. You get to meet celebs. And
really?
Yeah.
It's a great gift.
It's weird, though. At the event, all the handicapped spaces are taken.
Yeah, you know, you don't see that, and it makes you angry when you go to a Costco and you have to park in the back of the place and there's 11 empty handicap spaces there. But when you go to a handicap event, they're all spoken
for.
No
can do.
Yeah.
In the words of the great Hall & Oates, no can do I, Adam.
I can't go for that.
No, sir.
Well, I know you're Republican through and through, and obviously...
To the bone.
Barack's in the office now, and, you know, your guy didn't get in. How's it at the Martin House?
You know, that was a tough one. Jazz and I cried in each other's arms the night of the election because, you know, John would have made just a real neat president, you know.
Yeah.
But he was a little old. I'll be honest. The first time I saw a picture of him with Sarah Palin, I thought, oh, my God, he's entered hospice because it was not a good pairing. But I think she would have made just a real neat vice president. She, you know, she would not have come to Washington jaded by any familiarity with the political process.
Yeah,
which
I know. Well, and that's a double-edged sword because you know you don't want her in the back pockets of a bunch of special interest groups.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, some understanding of how the political process works would be ideal.
I thought she brought a Dr. Quinn freshness.
Oh, really? Yeah, the
scene.
Medicine woman.
Yeah, and you know, she has that thing with her hair up in the bun and the glasses. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's like you dressed her. He dresses me, and I saw
dress Jazz.
He dresses me. You know, if it weren't for him, I'd be running around town in a Raiders half shirt and a Speedo and some shoes made from tires. That's how he found me.
Yeah, so you do, because I couldn't get away with that. I don't.
Well, you know, I don't think Jazz really has the right idea of herself. And we've struggled with that.
We've seen some people.
Oh, so, I mean, what you're saying is when you go to these events, for instance, for the, you know, kids with the syndromes and whatnot, there's photo ops. It's important that someone in your position has someone on their arm that looks appropriate.
Absolutely.
I have a boxy jacket for every day of the week.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, neat look, and she gets it. Is it Chico?
Chico's.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many...
I wear one, I get a Diet Sunkist. Is that right?
That's right.
I do.
Oh, he pays you? That's his Diet Sunkist is his payment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of affirmation of a good behavior.
A lot of times I'll know where she's been because there'll just be a trail of empty Diet Sunkists. And I go, oh, she's in the garage.
That's your follow. That's how you know where she is.
Yeah, that's how I discovered her cutting herself, actually, once.
Well, cutting. I used to dig holes trying to get to the Earth's mantle where Diana Ross was screaming, and you can hear her, and he doesn't believe me.
Yeah.
I called the news station, and they transferred me to sports.
Right.
And I said, devils are coming out of my eyes. He doesn't like me to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. Yeah, we don't need to talk about that with Adam.
Well, as long as we're talking about you two, your family, you say you have a biological daughter.
We
and
do.
A couple that
adopted.
Are...
Yeah.
To adopt it.
Well, she considers them adopted. Mm-hmm. They're from my first two marriages. We've got three kids, Ronald, Wilson, and Reagan.
Uh-huh.
And just terrific kids. Ronnie's actually in rehab right now. Mm. He was.
Wow, that doesn't sound terrific.
Well, the interesting thing is he's not... he just got mixed up with the wrong crowd. It was part of a plea deal. There was some gal from the high school said that Ronnie and the other kids from the football team... took liberties with her while she was passed out, which is ridiculous. They're undefeated and she's ugly. Are you telling me? You know, that's 2 and 2 is 7. That just doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, if anything, she'd be she'd be on them. She's
the
star of the football team.
So obviously she's lying. But
so
he's gonna wait that out, and I think
he's in rehab
as a part of the plea deal.
Right,
but he did
nothing
wrong.
Right,
he did nothing wrong. It was a liberal trial.
Right. I know. I understand. Yeah. I mean, it's probably like the Duke lacrosse thing.
You
know,
really, absolutely.
Really,
absolutely.
A lot of smoke and mirrors. Nothing really going on over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just got swept up in that.
He got swept up in it. It was an unfortunate thing, but
that's Reagan, and then
that's Ronald.
Oh, that's Ronald.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Reagan's the gal with
frames. She's our little girl. Yeah.
And then Wilson is
the middle boy, and mm-hmm. he's very quiet. He likes to be left alone, and he likes to. I'll be honest. He likes to start a lot of fires.
Oh, really?
He does, and he wets his bed, and
well, that maybe one could solve the other.
You would think.
You know what I mean? I'm going to set my mattress on fire. Oh no, you're not. I'm pissing it out.
You would think.
It's the one time I said there's a fire, and you said yes, there is.
That was
starting fires. Doesn't sound like. I mean. He's at home now, right?
The neighbors tell us animals.
Who tortures animals?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that's a phase when you hold like a magnifying glass over an anthill or something like that.
It's
a little
curiosity. It was the cat and the dog from next door.
Oh, that's he skinned them.
He just wanted to see the inside.
That's more than an anthill.
I think he's
though.
Curious, just biologically.
Yeah,
I think.
No, but some people pull the wings off a fly, but this is different. Yeah.
He wore the bodies to school, and I think that was where it just really.
Yeah. The psychologist tells us that's the triumvirate for a future serial killer, and we know that can't be true because he comes from a good family.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, I'm sure he's not going to be a serial killer, but a lot of these serial killers do come from families that seem to be adjusted.
But they do, but not from families that have a 8,500 square foot home where the father makes seven figures.
I guess so. A gated community? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Ours is actually a double gated community.
There's two gates?
Yeah, just in case somebody gets by the first one.
And we're back. I love when Representative Richard Martin comes in. He comes in always dressed to the nines. He does the rich guy move that Adam always talks about, where his cuffs and his collar are a different color than his shirt.
Blue shirt, white cuffs, pink cuffs, pink collar.
Yeah,
it's a great move.
He knows. He comes dressed in press, and he always brings it. And speaking of bringing it, this next clip is a request from Tim from 2013. He writes, "The first Teddy Pendergrass with Dag. Never laugh so hard, Tim." Well, Tim, you are not the only one who never laughed so hard, because Adam Carolla, myself, everybody in the room, everybody listening, it was a collection of laughter.
Adam Carolla Show 997. This is from January 2013, and I'm having a serious case of deja vu, because I can swear we already played this either as holiday best of or as an early Carolla classic. I even, remember us talking about it, and "you're not that fat" being the leading phrase from Dag that starts everything, because he has to apologize to her. And I went through all of our notes. Apparently, we have not played this. This clip didn't exist, because I was just going to swap it over and be like, "Oh, we already played this, but it's really popular. Let's play it again." So I had to cut this brand new. It's three different sections of the show. It includes the "not that fat" portion, the Aussies flapsteak discussion, because that leads into some of the lyrical choices by our very own David Alan Greer. This episode features just David Alan Greer, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop, and it goes a little something like this.
Right. Who is this dude? I have to suck him off first? What's going on? Why does he have a clipboard?
Wait, Allison, you just found out you were Jewish. Now, why did they say, by not telling you
were
Jewish?
No, not just.
But wait, what was their thing? We want to raise you as a Gentile-thinking person so you won't be caught in the Jew trap?
I can tell you more. Yeah.
Yeah,
fear of Jew trap.
Better than this guy's story.
I can tell you more, but it's not going to make sense. It doesn't really make sense. It was... I've heard of a number of things. It was that the religious part doesn't mean anything to us, so why let other people define us? I think my dad's a lot older.
Like how old? 100?
He's 100.
All right.
Hitler wasn't that bad. We went to school together.
No. No.
He had some great ideas. I'm just saying he went off track, okay?
Dag, you were 22 when you found out you're black, right?
No,
so
man,
you should talk.
Man, please. I lived in Detroit, dude. Are you crazy? I knew I was black every day.
I think that my dad...
Damn, man,
I think it's a lot of fear. It's a lot of fear. It's a lot of... feeling like there's so much discrimination. And
why let your culture and your heritage define you? But your last name is Rosen.
And we look Jewish. I mean, that's the thing, is that my whole
your
life
last
people
name
were...
It wasn't like it was like McGillicuddy.
But her dad is a doctor. Oh, wait a minute.
What? That's what I said to them. I always said, why didn't you just change our, if you wanted to do this, why not just change our name? Because in essence, what you did is make me look like a fool.
This is the craziest undercover ever, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you go through hating him for a while?
I felt betrayed because I didn't think that they would lie to me in that way, and I didn't think the lies would get that ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I understand if I'm 3 or 4, who cares? But at the point at which I'm saying, Dad, we have relatives that died in the Holocaust. Our last name's Rosen. Like, yeah, this makes – and really we have extended relatives that say they're Jewish. What the fuck? And that the
worst
lies
anniversary
are still coming.
Ever.
You didn't go to yeshiva and get really Jewified after that? I mean, that's
no.
What
that's the thing is that I never did.
No, yeah. I understood. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's fucking nuts,
I mean,
man.
You went to interview school. It seems
I went to
like.
Where?
Interview school.
Well, I just find you fascinating and slightly sexy, too.
Thank you.
Dag, what's going on? Are we dating?
Driving over here, I am reveling in the fact that I am not in a relationship.
So are the women. They're fucking related. Yeah,
get back to the Manti Te'o thing. I met a girl on Twitter. Listen to me. We spoke twice, and already it's like, I got to meet you. Mm-hmm. I want to come see you. It was like, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine. The guy's for 3 years. 3 years.
Do you think he's gay?
Oh, well, here's what I think. Honestly, here's what I think. I think, first of all, the guy's kind of naive. You know, Samoan dude.
Kinda.
He may be a virgin. Long story short, here's what I think. What people aren't saying is he got conned. Now, I'm going off. When they went onto the campus, most 20-somethings, when you say, hey, I got conned on the internet, they're going to look at you like, duh, what else is new? That's right. One aspect. The other aspect is old people are going, why would someone perpetrate a con like a catfish? It's not for money. It's not for any personal gain. It's just to do it. That doesn't make sense. They don't believe it. But again, they based a whole series on fat chicks who live in the basement with their mom perpetrating this kind of fraud.
Yeah.
It's never for money. It's never for any gain just because I thought I could do it. The third aspect is he got conned by a dude. Mm-hmm. He's 19 or 20. He's the biggest football player, one of the biggest football players in the country. He can't go on the national media after he punked himself and said, oh, by the way, I was conned by a dude who said he was a girl. I think he was conned. I think he knew at a certain point that he was being conned, and he perpetuated the story. I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know why, but that's just what I'm saying. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
You fall in love with a chick, then you find out it's some dude, and you're 19?
And here's the other thing, too. And
I mean,
another
you
reason,
didn't answer that. Did that happen to you, Adam?
Yes. Why not? Number one reason
Adam,
why you shouldn't have kids.
Hi,
Peanut.
Me, Peanut. Peanut.
Online Peanut.
I was outside waiting for you. You said you was coming out. Then my friend D came around, and we went to get some French fries. We came back. You was gone, so we can't meet each other till next year.
What?
No, I love Peanut. You, bye.
No, Peanut, I want to hook up.
Oh, no, I can't because I'm on the space shuttle. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Yeah, bye.
I didn't know you were in the space program.
Right, but come on, it's like...
Yeah, no, it's...
Out of here.
So okay. Wait, you talked to a girl that you... You talked to a girl twice that you met on Twitter?
The point is...
I'm saying maybe, yeah.
No,
how do you know?
I mean, I'm telling you right now, this is the whole thing. The whole modus operandi is, oh, let's meet each other. I want to see you.
No, look.
In real, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? That's after 2 phone calls.
Here's the deal.
Oh, I'm running out of breath.
All right, let me explain something.
Man, Gria, is very challenging.
Let me explain something.
The bouquet I tasted, pencil shavings, coffee grounds, fresh earth de terreur.
Uh-huh. And it had notes of charcoal.
You know, yes, hints of tin,
briquettes,
and burnt. Wood, burned wood, smoky.
Working on the Better Man, by the way. So that's coming
the Better
out.
Better Man?
Yeah. Oh, my cocktail.
Oh, they're working
on the blacks are going to love it. So listen.
How about fat guy?
Let me say this.
Chitlin martini?
Let me say this. Fat chicks can sit around and have a fake relationship.
I had many of them.
Well, here's
Did
what
you
I'm
really?
Saying.
Growing
she
up.
Be
You're
fat
not
chick.
That fat.
No, no.
How fat are you?
That's you.
Thank
you. You just... Do you understand how many years of therapy?
Undid all all the compliments
you undid
from before.
Everything and
Allison, you're not fat. I'm telling you.
Oh, really? That's not what you said before.
I said
you said you're not that fat.
No, he meant like that girl.
But what I'm saying is, I'm saying, were you obese? Okay. Were you obese when you were a little kid?
Yeah, I was.
Like, give me age 10. You're what, 250?
No. But
well, I mean,
I don't know what
you were
normal
the fat
weight.
Kid. You
yes,
were the fat
I was
kid.
A fat kid.
Dak.
Okay.
You understand what you know what say what you just did?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I said,
I'll tell you what happened.
Roll back the tape, man.
Let me tell you what happened.
Let me speak.
Hold on. Listen, this is a tape. I said you're beautiful.
I was
no.
I just put out my picnic basket. I laid out all my food. I sat down, I poured myself a nice glass of wine. And then you threw a rock at a beehive that was next to my tree and then got in your car and sped away.
They could keep
you understand?
Standing.
Am I
stand
the one
Teresa,
having
let
the
me
big
look at
fat
stand?
Girl picnic?
I have to sit here.
No.
No, I have to put this
I'm
fire out.
I'm building my walls here.
All right. Dag, honestly, there's going to be a lawsuit.
You look kind of good to me. Come here. Stand up.
She found out she was litigious at some point
stand
as well.
Stand
you
up.
Said you're not that fat.
I said, you know what I said?
You're not that fat.
In black man talk, that's, you're
don't,
fucking
don't,
hot.
Paul, oh, don't go racial on me.
Don't go racial,
you
that's not
you just found
help.
Out you were Jewish. I know I'm black. What,
I found
black,
out years ago.
Well, let me tell you something. What I said was, and I take it to the listeners, you know, have them tweet in or whatever the fuck y'all do.
We got
you
a
listen
phone
to
call.
Me.
Yeah,
hold up, Adam. Hold up, Adam.
Yeah.
From here on, motherfucker. Look, what I said, guys in the booth, what I say? I said, damn, you look good.
You said,
play it back.
You're
play
not
it back.
That fat.
Play it back. I didn't say that. I
yeah,
said,
you
ask
did.
Me again. I'm going to say,
you're not that
ask
fat.
Me, let's roll it back.
I
what
mean,
did you say?
You're
me,
pretty chunky,
let me mediate.
But you're not that fat.
Oh, now, see, I didn't say chunky.
Let me mediate for a
I
second
said,
here.
I said, damn, girl. How you gonna get all that ass in a box for a present for me?
That's what I'm saying. You're not that fat.
I think that was an unfortunate word and use of the word that because mm-hmm. you said I was fat and he was surprised by that.
Exactly, because you look so beautiful.
That was the part.
I have the tape right here.
We do.
All right, go ahead.
Here's what Dag actually said.
Go ahead.
You look so beautiful. I would like to play with your dirty pillow.
Thank you, Ball Tommy. Thank you, man.
Weird.
You,
I totally remembered it somehow
I would like to play with your dirty pillows, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Look,
sorry.
You don't look like you're obese to me.
All right. Line one. Parker.
Oh, shit.
Hi there.
27, Mississippi.
What do you think, Allison, honey baby? Stand up. Let me look at your booty.
All right. She's going to need some therapy.
Yeah.
You look good, baby. You look
thanks,
good.
Ben,
break
thanks.
The glass. For Come the. On. There's a guy with patches on his sleeves and a beard with salt and pepper in it. We keep back there, Dr. Mendelson, in case of such emergencies.
Well, she's not. She's not. She just found out she was Jewish. Why he's got to
now, Parker's an architect. Parker, are you still there?
He's not going to fuck.
I am.
Just relax.
Do you know how I feel about architects?
And
do you have anything
to say? Unfortunately.
Are
I'm
you
very
one of the,
saddened by that.
Are you one of the good ones?
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Have you noticed that your colleagues are megalomaniacal and kind of asshole-ish?
Well,
you know
builders.
What? About one out of three are.
See?
That's an epidemic.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. Why do you hate architects?
She thinks they're evil.
I have found, Parker's an exception, but I've found that most architects are megalomaniacal.
Can't you say megalomaniacs? You got to go megalomaniacal.
Yeah.
They're megalomaniacs.
She's great, on Will and Grace.
No, I never have.
But let me see your titties. Let me
but
see your titties.
Hold on a second.
Christ. You look all
listen,
right. Listen.
Listen, Dag.
Hold on. Let me look the fat back.
You're going to get slapped with a suit and a hand.
All right,
and listen to me.
He's poking my muffin top.
No, listen,
you
can
don't
I?
Have a muffin
right, let
I
me,
do.
I'll call right. that icing on the cake.
Hey, now.
Woo! What? I'm trying to get with
okay.
Allison.
Let me do a little E-voice here.
E-voice. Motherfucker! Dick, ass, pussy,
Dag.
Mother.
Okay. No, not Dag. You all can't right. do that.
Stop,
we're not going to get through
stop.
This here.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy, Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
The one constant throw all the year, Ray has been baseball.
If you said Field of Dreams.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
What's his most famous one, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Ozzy's most favorite, my favorite Ozzy drop of all time.
What is modern billionaire man?
What does modern marbles mean?
What is modern bienario mean?
What does modern bienario mean?
What is modern bienario mean?
Fuck, what the
I had
fuck
to fucking build houses with this guy. You understand?
How could you even get the right nail size?
Oh, and he would call me up from like Home Depot, and I'd try to talk him into getting like not get the Alex's paintable caulk, not 100% silicone. But the one that was paintable silicone.
Why is
like,
modern bienario
made? On the fucking phone with the guy. It's like insane.
Dude, let me tell you something.
But I'll tell you, he did do flap steak really well.
Dude, I found some frozen flank steak in my freezer. I've defrosted it. Opened my cabinet of herbs. And Ozzy, he gave me his master mix.
Got good mix.
I put it in a can. Yeah, I put it in a bottle and put the label on it. Mm-hmm. Put that bad boy on there. Fried it up. There was a big ass piece. I cut it up in little strips. I ended up eating the whole thing. Thank you, Ozzy. Wasn't as good as mine, but
what is modern bienario mean?
I'll tell you, Ozzy, and his flap steak. I'll tell you, it's all you need
Do
to
you
know
say
in life.
Flank steak or flap?
He calls it flap steak.
Okay, so is he
Although
saying
I don't know what he's
flank
saying.
Steak?
No, he's saying flap steak. He
can
gets
you
it
Google?
From the...
Can you Google flap steak, flank steak, skirt steak?
They're all the same, I think.
I think they are.
He gets it from the Mexican butcher, which sounds like the name of an enforcer in a drug cartel.
Well, you know me. Whole Foods AIDS meat department. The black dude was like, flap steak? Hey, dog, we don't have flap steak, man. There's no part of the calf that's called flap. Uh-huh. We don't have flap steak.
Yeah, they don't.
What does it say, man?
That's too lowfalutin.
Flap.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's the deal.
What's up?
Hold
on, just for a minute. I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah. Can I just do something real quick? Mm-hmm. Hey, dog, turn my mic up, man. Can you give me some romantic music? Because I got to make my thing right.
Flap steak is beef steak cut. Comes from the bottom of the sirloin.
Okay, do Flat flank steak and then All skirt right. steak.
Just apologize to Allison.
Hold on, I need some mood music, man. Can you give me some mute? Come on, ball.
What kind of mood?
Sexy shit, man. Come on, R&B, you know. Something nice. No, man, come on. Do some old school Isaac Hayes or Teddy Pendergrass.
Turn up
the lights and light a candle. And I will rub you down because you're not that fat. I said, turn it off. Hey, look here. Can you get some reverb on my shit?
So is this one called You're Not That Fat?
It's called You're Not That Fat. Hey, Allison.
Oh, I love this one. Yes.
Hey, Allison, yes. It's me. Uh-huh. Baby, stand up. Let me look at you.
I'm standing.
Damn, girl. Turn off the lights. Do a turn for me. Stop right there. Ooh! That back end is killing me, baby.
Thank you.
What I meant to say when I said, you're not that fat! What I meant to say is, damn, girl, if I had a soup spoon, I'd scoop you up like chocolate ice cream. You're beautiful. Can you accept my apology?
Maybe.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Okay, thanks, guys. I made my apology. You make amends.
I feel a lot better.
You
thanks.
Make amends. Do you really? Come on. Mm.
Find the white guy version of the song of that song, which is "I'd like to get to know you."
I'd like to get to know you. Yes, I would.
Karen Carpenter.
She could play drums. Excellent drummer.
Somebody's got to find "I'd like to get to know you." Now, by the way, white guys sing about all the stuff they're not going to do to you. Like, I'm not going to bring you down, and I'm not going to follow you up.
Young girl, get out of my life. You're not that fat, and I won't.
Black guys sing about what they're going to do to you.
That's right. I'm going to take them drawers off and pound that ass. Put my shoe in your ass. Turn them out. I'm going to box them titties.
Wait, I think we're getting the mono version of it.
This is the rapist song, right? Like, Ted, why are we parked in a forest?
I'm just trying to get to know you. That's all.
Right. But you have gaffer's tape.
Yeah, no. That's good for what else, yeah.
No, but Allison.
Yeah,
we're on
mono here.
I felt you.
You got to work that one out.
I mean it, really.
Teddy, what else would you like to do to Allison?
I like to lick your asshole! I'd like to pound the bruise on your booty cheeks, baby.
What did Teddy do? Did Teddy sit down and go, we got to get black people fucking?
Wow.
What can
Teddy,
we do?
Teddy got caught in his... He got caught in a car. He got caught. This is true. He was got caught in a car with a tranny who was giving him head. The car crashed, and that's how he got paralyzed.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm not making
it up. No, I saw your very moving eulogy explaining that just beat for beat. And that was
a triple-double. It's like, Teddy, you're going to be fine. Just a real quick question. What was it? And the tranny was fine, by the way.
Wow. Well, the trannies are like bumbles. They bounce. This is a white guy song.
Yes, I would. Hi, Allison. It's me, Terry. Do you know the frat handshake? Listen, I just wanted to tell you. I just want to honor you. So I'm not going to be putting my tongue in your mouth tonight. I like to do the open mouth kissing. But I'm just going to gently grip your waist. I'm not going to go down to the posterior. Gosh, you're so honorable. Can we go to Sunday school again today? Take worship together, perhaps?
All right.
Okay, serious question. Yeah.
Hold on.
Blank stage.
Hold on. What would he do? I just want to know what Teddy would do one more time.
I tied them titties in a knot, baby. And deep tongue your nipples. I call them cookie round, baby. I stick my tongue. I would tongue fuck ass fuck you.
I'd like to spend the day. This is.
I would just like to twirl and twirl and twirl and do modern dance with you.
And no promises. Yeah. So
okay.
White guys sing about what they're not gonna do, and black guys sing about what they're gonna do.
Birthday steak. Look, okay. Uh-huh. Apparently, I'm wrong. Flap steak is a cut. Bottom sirloin. Flank steak.
Wait,
abdominal muscles.
Do it like Teddy Pendergrass.
Flap steak. I want a flap steak. Fuck you, baby. I want to get your bottom sirloin and bust out that steak cut on you, baby. Then I'm going to flash fry your flank steak, your abdominal muscles. Stretch them out with my dick muscle, baby. Let's get freaky.
Oh,
Teddy Pendergrass at his prime. Rest in peace, Teddy.
He'll be missed.
Teddy Bear. That was a bad motherfucker, baby.
All right, so wait a minute.
That was a panty dropper right there.
He was in a car with a tranny.
Apparently. Unfortunately, this was the story. He was in his Rolls Royce. Tranny was giving him head. Homeboy lost control. Bam. Paralyzed. Fucked him up. Tranny's fine.
I gotta
almost
say,
died. Almost died.
There's some dudes that you think, well, what is this, bi or gay or like what's going on? And then you think there are some guys that are horny, prison horny. Yes, you know what I mean? Like the guys that are fucking in prison, they're not gay. Yeah. They're hornier than I am.
That's my question. You're getting head from someone, and then you realize it's a tranny, but it feels good. When do you make them stop?
Can I just be right here?
Speaking from experience.
Teddy knew it was a tranny.
Okay.
All right, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. There are dudes where you go, oh, now, come on, that guy's gay. Like that certain thing where it's like everyone else in the Backstreet Boys is getting laid and Lance Bass is just going, I'm going to go up to my room and catch CNN.
They probably knew, man.
But that's gay. That's gay.
Yeah.
But there's a point where your activity is almost so gay it becomes straight again.
Wait, do I have
A
friend of a friend.
Damon Wayans.
No, friend of a friend.
Uh-huh.
So when he was a kid, there was one of his friends at school who had all these nice clothes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the fuck? Because they were all broke. You know, they grew up in a really poor neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking this dude, what the fuck happened? He says, man, this dude gives them to me. Man, he's like, dude, what dude? He found out the guy was letting this older gay man blow him. Then the dude would give him clothes. So my friend goes, but that makes you gay. He goes, motherfucker, I ain't gay. He's sucking my dick. So my friend was like, but I don't.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is.
That's not what you're talking about?
No, it kind of is. But what I'm saying
I just wasted that story.
You ever see the guys with the big calves and the ponytails that are survivalists?
Yeah.
And they're like eating grubs.
I saw one of those dudes on TV.
Yeah, eating that shit. And you kind of, first part, he's like, gross. And then the other part is like, he's more man than me. Like, he knows he'll get by.
But also,
he'll live and
there's
die.
A survivalist show. Plus, the dude was barefoot.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's saying that guy needs sex so much. He doesn't care where it comes from. And Adam's not that way.
He's straighter than I am.
He's so straight he can have a man go down on him.
I don't.
It makes perfect sense.
You lost. Roll back.
He's saying, I want to get that dude in the shower. And loofah him up.
Well, what? I mean, that's what.
You think Teddy Pendergrass is sitting around? What rhymes with loofah?
Loofah. I don't think Teddy's with us anymore.
Oh,
Teddy,
okay.
Teddy made the
I miss him.
He made the final. He made the final curtain call. Am I right, fellas?
Yeah, he's missed.
Cracker Jack, But back to you, Allison.
Yeah.
Are you yawning?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right,
we're boring her.
Let's take a phone call.
Okay.
You got a phone call up there?
Like an anxious dog.
Tommy. That's right.
Nobody, no girls call?
No. Out of my demo.
A Harvard professor is looking for a quote-unquote adventurous woman who's willing to bring a Neanderthal baby to term. Because what he's going to do is, yes?
Hold on, Adam. Is that a Harvard doctor smart enough to see you got all that ass?
he's going to create an artificial Neanderthal DNA based on bone samples.
You said artificial?
Artificial, yeah. And then put that DNA into human stem cells, and then a volunteer would carry that child to term and give birth to the first Neanderthal.
Mitch Green.
Or the last
Neanderthal. We already have Mitch Green. Yeah.
I wonder if this will really happen.
I know there's going to be a lot of religious groups that are against it, but there's going to be a lot of high people that are for it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I have a friend who's all about bringing the woolly mammoth back.
I'm all.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, you should ask. This is not a guy you're dating, is it?
No. Listen. I'm all about Jurassic Park. I'm fine with that. I like, you know, when people go, you can't play God, I love playing God.
What would you do?
Here's what I hate. I don't like
shoot
people
lightning
playing
out
God.
Of my ass.
No, man. I don't like one of my friends has a pugger doodle or some shit. That's different than a mongrel. They didn't buy their dog at the pound.
Mm-hmm.
No. She bought it from a dude and his fucking crazy wife chick who decided to invent a new breed.
But would you
like an Irish setter and a poodle?
Would you
or some
be down
shit.
With Jurassic Park?
No.
Why not?
Because did you see the whole movie?
I checked out.
That's what's going to happen,
act.
Motherfucker. I don't want T-Rexes running up and down trying to kill me. It's enough that Allison and that T-Rex.
Wait, you know, we'll fit them with like an exploding collar.
Lose respect for me if I got a Maltipoo?
Yes. It's just stupid.
You don't want to see a dinosaur?
Man, we got dinosaurs. They're called birds.
Okay.
But you don't want to see a...
Alligators. That's a dinosaur.
All right. I just like something a little bigger. I like something that can crush my minivan. That's
you can't
all.
Crush a dino... Man.
What's your favorite? Stegosaurus? Brontosaurus? T-Rex?
T-Rex.
T-Rex is
T-Rex is like saying, you know, what's your favorite shark? It's a great white. That's right. A great white. You know, there's a lot of different types of sharks. Great white's
the
coolest.
I like the whale shark, that big-ass whale shark. I like that.
Yeah, just because it scares people.
He's
you know?
Very docile. He's like Shaquille O'Neal.
No, sharks. I was going to... Say, yeah. He's like Brian Posehn.
Brian Posehn is like, a wonderfully gifted performer.
But I'm saying he'd sneak up on you and scare you, but he'd never hurt you.
That's like me Gentle saying giant. Those horrible words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You may not be that fat, but you are that fine. Ooh, that's how I flipped it. I flipped that shit. That works. Hey!
Thanks.
I wanna kiss you till your lips fall off your face and suck on your gums, bitch! And then I'm gonna rub a blister on your titties, baby.
That really hurts. That's not comfortable.
Shut up! Give me what I want!
Ow.
Top baby names of 2013.
Did Teddy say he wanted to take a shower with her?
Let's take a shower. Then I rub hot oil on your big fat ass mama. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Teddy. Teddy cut the grass, baby. You light incense so that your funky feet gonna smell good. Hot oils, baby. I swear I'll return the same I would do the same thing to you. Turn them off.
Well, number one is Isabella.
You're going to be missed.
Is Isabella.
Isabella.
I don't think like Teddy could get away with that on a chick named Isabella.
No. Here's the thing. I've made this point repeatedly, which is that, and my sister has the name Isabella chambered for her imaginary daughter that she'll have one day.
It's fucked out.
And
it's too fucked out.
But she thinks that she just thought of the name and it's pretty. Not in realizing that it's the number one name. How does this happen?
I don't know.
I'm sure that whatever names I have in my head right now
have
for my Maltipu. No, not yet. I can't wait.
I mean, have you told her that it's... No. Well, does she know she's Jewish?
She does. But anyway, whatever name that I think is like, oh, that's a pretty name. I haven't heard that in a while. I'm going to give that to my kid. Will be the number one name. It'll be the Jenny of whatever.
Right.
Parker.
Right.
Parker. Parker. Millie is number two.
Number two?
Is that Millicent or just Millie?
Mm-hmm.
It could be either. Then get this, Sookie.
Sookie,
it's like
but
from Sookie
is short for
wait a minute.
What?
Is this American or are we
Sooklin?
Are we
no? This
taking
is,
all
this
cultures
is
into effect. Sookie.
Sookie.
But what is Sookie short for?
I don't know.
I've heard it before.
A lot of ladies watch True Blood.
Oh, is that that's what
true,
it is?
That's true, that's
for Suckfest. Anne.
Wow. Anne.
Ella.
Dude, how long
Betty.
Is this podcast?
Oh,
Ellie.
Listen,
like,
listen,
Emma,
almost over.
Charlotte.
But let me tell you something about Ella. I went to grade school with a chick named Ella, and it took about 12 seconds for me to come up with Ella. You smell her, and you got a Bella like a bowl full of Jella.
Or you can flip that, be positive, like Ella. You hella fine. And you're
what
not
would Teddy
that
Pendergrass
fat
sound
to
like?
A fella? Because I like to.
If Teddy was talking to Ella,
I'd like to tongue you down till I get to the scallop. Smell ya, Ella.
but my daughter has a bunch of friends named Ella, so much so that we're like, which Ella? The blonde Ella
that
lives around the corner? Mm-hmm. The one that lives in the flat? Where? Which Ella? The one you go to school with?
Well, speaking of, I know you're tired, and I know you're ready to go home.
No, but I'm doing news.
And she's doing news. But okay, speaking of names, you know, there's a few names of some of Peanuts' kids that are up there.
Levana Jesterol. Levana Jesterol. Levana Jesterol! Don't act like you don't hear. Put that down. I'm not coming to get you from the precinct tonight, okay? Shoplifting is a crime. Goodbye.
Is that
Estradiol.
Estradiol. Estradiol, nogesteril, progesterone. This is my... Come on, man. We did this bitch
right.
too many times.
You're right.
Estradiol!
That's me in my prime, baby. Don't make me keep doing the same shit.
Now it's Teddy Pendergrass.
Suck the nail polish off your thumb, baby! Suck your lips!
I wonder if you ever covered I'd Like to Get to Know You.
I'd like to get to know you before I fuck you, baby. I'd like to get to know you. Shadow box with your titties.
Teddy punches it up.
That'd be funny session, like spanking our gang, whoever fucking... Is it spanking our game?
Day by day. Oh, and night by night. When I bust a nut in your...
Little Rascals?
No, the gang is... The band is... I don't know. Spanking our gang.
Was a band.
Yeah, right. So they're like, Teddy, sorry. This song's about getting to know somebody. And I appreciate you backing vocals here. But... I just, the commentary we probably do without. So it's about a couple that's just meeting together and just kind of discovering each other and getting on. So, you know, this, I like to get to know you.
And bust a nut in your weed, mama.
No. Ted. Yeah. This is just about a young couple kind of grooving on each other's vibe.
So you just want to ooze and ah.
Yeah, it's just kind of your background. Just kind of harmonizing. So it's just like, I'd like to get to know you.
And box your big titties, mama.
Teddy, would just a little harmony. We brought you in here because you could harmonize.
I'd like to fuck your sister and make her lick your pussy while I'm deep digging her, baby.
All right, hold on. Chad, stop the recording for a second.
I'm just trying to do my thing, man. I'm just trying to do my sexy thing.
Yeah, Ted, I appreciate what you're trying to contribute.
I'm just trying to put some
artistically here. We have this song worked out. We have it arranged. We have the Wrecking Crew in here for just about another 45 minutes.
Go and do your thing.
So they're doing thing. And if we just get a little harmony from you, because you got a great, powerful sound. We just a little harmony, and we're just trying to add a little of that flavor layer to it. But we're not looking to change the song so much, okay? Just about a couple. Here we go. To know you.
Yes, I'm going to make you my chocolate chip, deep dick, ball diving mama, motherfucker, baby.
Okay, let's stop. They're
pouring it. Teddy. No one's doubting your one. Your serious talent. No one is denying your talent.
I get carried away. The song is powerful.
But
the song is powerful.
Gene and I worked on the lyrics.
We did. We worked a long time on this. So it's about a girl I met when I was in college, and we really found ourselves falling in love without being physical.
Okay.
It was just really about getting to know each
about
other.
What's
that?
It's about a mind thing.
We got to know each other. Yeah,
okay,
just
cool.
Emotionally.
It
wasn't a physical thing.
I'm
you know,
on board.
It's about us.
I'm on board.
Oh, let's just take from the topic. Okay. Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Is that right? That's right.
I'd like to get to know you. In mind, fuck you with my mental dick, baby. Ted, I think you're missing the point.
That's
big black mentally. Conceive dick muscle. I'll let your cerebellum.
No. Ted,
fuck
no,
you.
No, okay. Let's go ahead and stop the recording.
Fuck you with my imaginary.
All right, can we stop the recording, please?
Middle dick, I want to dick you down.
Teddy, I know I said mentally and emotionally, but I didn't mean raping emotionally.
Well,
you
say rape, I say make love. You know?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying we're getting to know her as a person, as not as a sexual creature or being, but just as an equal and an individual. Okay. All right. And I probably pushed you in the wrong direction creatively a little with the whole
emotional, mental thing. You know what? Just oohs and ahs.
That's what I'm saying. Just the harmony.
Okay.
Let's take it again.
I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know you after I fuck you in your asshole, baby.
Right,
make you come bite the pillow, bitch. You know you like it.
All right, let's just take a lunch. Let's just take a lunch.
Thank you.
Thanks, Teddy. That was awesome stuff.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, we're wrapped. Okay, that was awesome stuff.
Boy, that Teddy's got a powerful voice.
He should definitely do a solo thing, Ted. You don't mind calling
this
me
is
that.
The longest fucking. You gotta shorten these bits. You're killing me. That's 27 minutes, man. But you know what happened, Adam? We found some new stuff here.
We did find. We found Teddy. We had Teddy backing up white bands from
That's
the
right.
60s.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah.
The great Teddy Pendergrass. Let's give the floor over to.
All right. Let's bring it home, Allison.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
Wow. That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Thanks, Tarifa.
I think next time you come in, we'll do Sonny and Cher.
That's
just
be nice.
Being friends with you. Yeah.
No, you got to do
baby,
Sonny and Cher. Just
me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Also, I got you, babe.
And we'll do that one.
I fuck you, babe.
Yeah, no. This...
I'm fucking you, baby.
I'll be in a...
Now. You're probably wondering, how do I submit a request on Corolla Classics? It's so easy, let me tell you. Just email us, classics@adamcorolla.com. Let us know what you want to hear. Tweet us, find us. I don't care how you let us know. Just let us know what clip you want to hear, because we're listening. Now, this next clip comes from Ryan Powell. He writes, "Hi Chris and Gio, love listening to Corolla's Classics. The show helped me pull the trigger on a Podcast One Premium membership." How about that, Gio? What does that mean?
Hey, for everybody listening, Podcast One Premium. You want to hear these full shows? We give you the guest information, the date. You do a search on Podcast One Premium after you sign up. They have the full Adam Carolla Show archive, all 10-plus years. You can listen to the full episode. Oftentimes, these whole episodes are just as funny as the clips we choose.
Yeah. And he also writes, "You guys are amazing." Wiping the brown off my nose now.
Gross.
I don't know, Ryan. It's a good look for you. Can you play a clip from Larry Flint? I am looking for the part where he is talking about his pump to get a boner. At one point, Adam asks if he likes rough sex. Keep doing Adam's best. Love you guys. Ryan.
This actually goes back to Love Line again. Larry Flint used to come on as a semi-regular guest starting in the 90s. And he told Adam about after he was shot, as featured in the movie, he had to get a surgery that put a pump, a reservoir, in his genitals so he could then become aroused. And Adam became obsessed with this notion and how the functionality works. And all these years later, when Larry Flint, David Eisenbach, Alison Rose, and Brian Bishop did this episode, Adam Carolla Show 577, Adam was still obsessed with the notion of this pump and reservoir system, so Larry explains it. I then chopped ahead forward and put another chunk in where they have the exact quote that Ryan was looking for.
Larry Flint is here. Larry and I haven't seen each other in a long time. Good to see you, Larry.
Good to see you, Adam.
How is your health, Larry?
My health's excellent.
You seem the same as you did years ago when I saw you last.
I'm the same. You know, if you would invite me back more often, you'd know more about my health.
Come back. Don't give me the guilt thing. But I saw you
driving.
Yeah,
when you get really successful like you have been recently, you know, you forget about the people that help you on your way up.
The little people. I know. Larry, what do you do? What is your regimen? Like, what health-wise? What does your doctor say you have to do? How does it work? How do you exercise when you're in a wheelchair?
I work all the time.
It's work.
The only exercise I get is in the bedroom. I'm like the Energizer Bunny, you know.
Larry told me once that he has a bladder in his penis and that he fills it with fluid, I think, to achieve an erection. And I said, how do you do that? And he says, it's in my ball sack. Squeeze, there's an extra ball in the ball sack.
That's
squeeze
convenient.
It, and it fills the bladder up.
I like those little Reebok pumps.
Exactly the same as one of the old Reebok
pumps.
You're
complicating the explanation. All you really need is to just squeeze. It's not painful.
Just one time?
One time.
Is there an extra ball in your sack?
No. This is about the size of a pea.
But where is it?
It's located in your scrotum.
Well, there you go.
But you don't have to grab one of your testicles to
squeeze it. But is it in between the balls, or is it more on the left or right?
Yeah, it's more on the left or right.
And you squeeze it one time?
Yeah, one time only.
And you get an erection?
Yeah.
One pump.
How do you release the thing? Squeeze?
Well, you press it again and it releases it.
Jesus Christ, I got to get one of these things.
If only it was so easy with all men.
Is it literally a bladder in your penis?
Look, it'll stay so hard a cat can't scratch it all the
really?
Time.
Yeah. Have you tested that theory, or is just that's a bold statement, Flint? Hold on. Mike, get the tabby. She's really mean. Yeah. All right. And, of course, David Eisenbach, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
David has got himself a PhD. He's a professor of American history over at Columbia. La di da. And these two wrote a book, One Nation Under Sex, How the Private Lives of Presidents, First Ladies, and Their Lovers Changed the Course of American History. Yeah, so let's talk. I went and got an MRI today, and it was awesome. And I was looking at the cover of, I don't know, Time magazine or something, and they had a picture of a pig, and it said, like, American men, or, like, men in power, why are they all pigs? And it's like, they're not all pigs. They do what all guys who have a little juice do. They have opportunities. They're no different than long-haul truckers. It's just long-haul truckers can't pull down tail when they're on the road like these guys do. Like, why do presidents cheat? Why do athletes cheat? This is the one thing, by the way, that we've all decided on. I mean, you know, the guys in the NBA have nothing in common with the, you know, Republican white guys that are making decisions in Washington right now, except for one thing. They don't dress the same. They don't listen to the same music. They don't like the same what, but pussy, that is the one thing they've all fucking come down on the same side of the fence on. So, sorry.
And this has been true since the Founding Fathers.
Of course.
But it was something that historians always wanted to ignore. And what we do in this book, One Nation Under Sex, is we explain that Founding Fathers, Abe Lincoln, on through the 20th century, they've been all going at it.
Well, even the Martin Luther Kings and the Jesse Jacksons and the so-called religious people are all busy fucking chicks that are outside of wedlock. And these are the most, look, if the religious guys can do it, and most of them are all, I'm sure Jesse Jackson's a fucking hypocrite. Otherwise, what's he doing siring kids that aren't his own outside of a marriage? Of course he's a fucking hypocrite and he doesn't believe in anything he's preaching. But either way, if these guys can do it, then of course the guys in the NBA and the guys in the White House and the guys in the Senate and the guys on the movie sets can
do
this.
Well, here's a question, and David and I were chatting about this before the show. Is it opportunity or is it the personality of people drawn to these sort of larger than life?
Well, I've roles. Found in my experience of outing politicians over the last 30 years is one trait they always have in common is they got a huge ego.
Right.
And they feed this ego through their sexual conquest. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact. And you know, when you were, Adam, when you were laying out as everybody's doing it, you know, I would agree with you on that. What we go after is not exposing people's sex life, but the hypocrisy involved.
Right.
Because I think that the greatest threat to democracy is hypocrisy, and I think you have to expose these people.
Hold on, let me hear Jesse Jackson. That would the greatest, the greatest threat to democracy is hypocrisy. Yeah, that's good.
It's good.
That would work.
It works.
I could see him saying that. Yeah. And the idea that A, we're all surprised, and B, we all act shocked and indignant. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean, a politician and an action star having a sexual liaison with someone other than his wife. It's like, I'm sure. Here's what the book should be: the five guys that didn't do it.
Well,
turns out three of them were gay, but. Who didn't do it?
Well, and that's the point, right? Because once you read this and once you see that presidents have been sleeping around, then the next time we have a presidential sex scandal, we won't make a national security crisis out of it and distract
right.
the presidency like we did with Bill Clinton in the late 1990s.
Sure. And it's now game on, I'm assuming. I mean, you're never going to get this cat back into the bag, the one that can't scratch Larry Flint's cock back into the bag,
so
because
hard.
It is just on now.
That's right. And
nothing
and
is sacred anymore.
Nothing is sacred. There's no controlling it. I mean, during the Kennedy administration, Bobby Kennedy could make 6 phone calls and shut down a sex scandal
right.
from getting into the press.
Right.
Right. With the internet, there's no controlling it. So the question is, how are we, the American people, going to respond when these sex scandals arise? Right? And hopefully we can become more mature about it next time it comes around affecting the presidency.
Who are some of the folks in the book that would surprise a reader in terms of the sex scandals?
I think Woodrow Wilson. He looks like kind of
Woody.
A pharmacist. But he was actually, you know, just this sort of all-consumed lover of women. He loved them. He had his affairs. Mm-hmm. And he winds up kind of actually surrendering control of his presidency to his second wife, Edith Wilson. And when he has a stroke, Edith takes over at the White House, mm-hmm. hides the stroke from the American people, and as a result of that, refuses to negotiate with the Senate over the League of Nations. The United States does not join the League of Nations. And the rest is history, leading up to the Second World War.
I do believe there was a quote, and Dr. Drew always said it to me, and I don't know if it was from Woodrow Wilson or who
Cal
it was
Coolidge.
From. Calvin Coolidge, the Coolidge effect.
The Coolidge effect. Yes.
Do you know the quote?
It's this sort of discussion between him and his wife over hens and roosters.
They're touring a farm, I guess, yeah. And the guy explains that one of the farmers says to Mrs. Coolidge that one of the roosters fornicates, 200 times a day, and she said, kindly repeat that to my husband when he shows up. And he shows up, and the farmer says, Mrs. Coolidge told me to pass along this information that one of these roosters fornicates 100 times a day, and he said, yeah, but not with the same chicken. And I think that's the point that guys are trying to make. And women don't understand it. I was listening to a radio show host, and I'm going to be on the guy's show today, which is his name is Dennis Prager. And he basically is a conservative guy. But he said, hey, listen, ladies, if you're married to one of the few guys that does not engage in this activity, pay it forward. You know what I mean? Like, appreciate it. You got a guy who's not a cheater.
Who doesn't cheat?
Yeah.
That's how rare that is?
It's pretty good. It's not bad. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead and let him know you appreciate it. See what you can do to keep his streak of not cheating alive.
Is he talking about politicians and celebrities, or talking about just any guy?
He's talking about. He was saying, and I agree with Larry, because there is a. If you were doing a study, he was saying all guys do this, all guys are wired this way, and all guys would do this essentially if they had the opportunity, but a lot of guys choose not to. And if you're with one of those guys, if you're lucky enough to be with one of the guys that chooses not to, you should actually acknowledge it, or at least appreciate it. It is something. But
with like a thank you blowjob.
Yeah.
Thanks for not cheating on me.
That a boy. A little that a boy. One pump and the magic bean and the ball sack, and we're in business. But I agree with Larry in the sense that you can't just use these numbers straight across the board, because guys who are in positions of power have a greater predilection for this kind of stuff, because they actually produce more testosterone when they're in that position of power.
Plus, that position of power gives them a sense of entitlement and a sense I can get away with it.
Right.
I mean, that's the syndrome they all wind up.
Not anymore. I now you got to think, Jesus Christ, I'd rather be a civilian, like just a good-looking pilot.
And yet that doesn't stop John Edwards from, you know, knocking up this girlfriend and still continuing his presidential campaign.
Well,
he could have easily have been caught, you know, in the middle of, you know, November, right before the election, and sunk the Democratic Party.
You think of it this way. I mean, if you think about guys and just how horny they are and how it can affect their decision making, like, you first off, if you have an orgasm inside of this woman, or even if you don't, I've done Loveline enough to know this. You can get somebody you don't even know pregnant and completely disrupt your life with your kids and your family, whatever. And guys will still do it. If you get caught, it can destroy your career. I don't care. I'm in. I mean, I would say that if you took really horny guys and you put a glory hole, I got to test this out, write this out, and you had like L. McPherson, one was labeled L. McPherson, and the other was labeled Cindy Crawford, and the other was labeled a wood chipper. And you said, like, oh, listen, and then you did a three-card Monty Shell thing where you, like, mix them all up, and you went, you got to put your cock through one of these things. Most guys would do it.
Wow.
Like, they go, I got a fucking 66% chance of fucking L. McPherson. I'm going for it. Yeah.
It's dick roulette. Russian cock roulette.
Dick roulette was my gay porn name. Oh, it's also when I used to host a review style show and being a style review.
Right.
And now, come to the host,
Dick roulette.
The music start playing. I gotta be me. I gotta be free. All right.
Can I ask Larry a question, going back to something you were saying before? Why do you think hypocrisy is the greatest threat to democracy?
Because you're always presenting yourself as someone that you're really not. And let's just take a senator that he's having an affair with a staffer, a lobbyist, and another federal employee, and he's also married. Do you want him walking out on the floor of the Senate and casting a vote for you? I just don't trust people that are being that hypocritical. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to be open about the kind of life they're living, it's a different thing.
Well, they would especially argue
if,
you can't.
Especially if that senator is bashing gays and is anti-choice and is presenting
paying
himself.
Him to do what the taxpayer wants. No, I agree. But let me ask this. I never thought about this. It used to be political suicide up until just recently, if somebody found out you're gay. That's political suicide. It was the end of a career in Hollywood if someone found out.
You might be interested in knowing that our first gay president was James Buchanan. He served from 1856 to when Lincoln was elected in 60.
How do you know he was gay?
Well, he had a 32-year relationship with Rufus King, a senator from
Alabama.
And they lived in the White House together. He's the only bachelor president we had. Mm-hmm. People were always making fun of the two. And
they knew what, ooh, yeah.
Confirmed bachelor.
Seen it now. Yeah, it looks like a sober Bill Murray.
Oh, wait. Larry said first gay president. That implies more than one. Was there more than one?
Well, that's the only one that we've been able to document.
So, however, there are lots of stories about Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
And in the book, we get into, all the discussion that, you know, about Abe Lincoln, how he is on record of having slept with three men, including Joshua Speed, whom he shared a bed with from 1837 to 1841. And these,
to be fair, there was only one bed in the county.
Well, it's not entirely true. At the time, Lincoln was a state legislator, successful lawyer. Joshua Speed was the heir to a southern plantation fortune and the owner of a general store. They had plenty of money to own their own beds.
Joshua Speed sounds like a superhero.
Yeah.
And so they have this intense relationship. And when Joshua Speed abruptly decides he's going to kind of leave Lincoln, Speed recalls how he had to remove the razor blades from their room because Lincoln threatened suicide.
Well, look, if it stands to reason that we haven't changed as much as we think we've changed, meaning we always look back a few hundred years and go, oh, well, we were totally different. No, what species is? Koala bears or alligators? You know what I mean? It's not like the alligators from 500 years ago are dramatically different than today. They're exactly the same. Right. We dress differently. There's technology. We have iPads now. But in terms of our sexual proclivities, I'm sure it was just the same. Guys were just as horny as they were and just as gay as they were. And whatever percentage of society is gay now, I'm sure was gay back then.
People
just wasn't accepted.
People have been putting it in the butt for a really long time.
Yeah, that's my point. The more you know. But here's the question then. So 10 years ago, if you were a politician and maybe even an actor, well, coming out and being gay would have been a career ender. Now, it's not. You can be a politician and be gay for the most part, and you can be an actor and be gay and all that kind of stuff for the most part. What about 10 years from now? Could you be a guy who says, listen, I like the ladies. I have multiple partners. Yes, I'm married. My wife understands that I enjoy sex and I have a mistress. I mean, will we evolve to that the same? I mean, we could wrap our minds around that faster than we could wrap our minds around the gay thing, and we've probably already wrapped our minds around the gay
thing. I think we're headed in that direction. I mean, you look at Senator David Vitter, gets caught with the D.C. madam. He has been caught with brothels. Or Larry Flint catches him, actually. This senator from Louisiana.
Here comes Larry.
David Vitter got reelected in a landslide last time around.
Yeah, I think
Elliot Spitzer, right? I mean, client number nine, right? And he gets his own TV show.
All I did is show. All people really want is the truth. That's the thing. It's not so much the
and
part
that,
where you're getting laid. It's the hypocrisy.
It's the hypocrisy of it. And I think we're headed in the direction where, you know, even a sex scandal, you know, you can recover from it. Mm-hmm. It's already happening. And a gay sex scandal at that.
Do you ever get a call from a politician saying, hey, man, come on, like, I got kids, or please don't do this, or I'll give you $100,000. Or
when I outed Bob Livingston, who was Speaker-elect of the House during the Clinton impeachment, we had him, you know, like dead to rights. He said he had never strayed from his family, and they were lined up. But anyway, once we broke the story, he resigned. And the New York Times did an interview with him, and they called him up and said, what do you think of Larry Flint? He said, I think he's a bottom feeder. So they called me and asked me, and I said, yeah, that's right. But look what I found when I got down there.
Right. Now, yeah, found a nice catfish cheating on his family.
The next day, his wife calls me. Bonnie, and said, look, you don't realize how many people have been hurt in this. Bob has resigned, you know. I don't want you to publish any more details of the scandal. And I thought about it for a long time. I thought about it one whole day, and I thought, well, why should I? I accomplished what I wanted.
Right.
But I knew what they wanted to keep out.
What was it? Anything good? Is it in the book?
Well,
come on, Larry.
Yeah, well, he was a pretty naughty guy. He liked bondage.
A little rough trade, a little bondage.
But it was pretty rough.
Really? You into any rough trade, Larry?
Huh?
You into any rough trade? Like someone put a speed bump in the bedroom or something?
I'm into plain old vanilla sex.
Yeah. I like the white chicks, too. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. That's the whole thing. Like when people go, like I like a chick who crushes a cockroach while she wears a pinata, and then I like to beat off to that. It's always like
I like to wear a pinata.
Are you burnt out on pussy? Like it really is a blowjob become tiresome to you? Like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like when people are like, I snowboard because skiing got boring.
Yeah, so going right. Down the hill at 30 miles an hour with two things on your feet, not enough for you, huh? You need one thing on your foot,
right?
Yeah,
and I think that the people who are into the freaky stuff, I think they start there.
Uh-huh.
That's where they start. They start with the, you know, to avoid the intimacy of vanilla sex, potentially.
I feel that way with, like, the anal poppers and stuff. Like, right as you orgasm, you say, really? I could use one of those during the day, but not while I'm orgasming. Right. That's when I'm orgasming. That's 2.3 seconds, done and done. That needs no correcting. We need to fix that.
Everyone's satisfied.
I need one of those when I'm stuck in traffic or, you know, when my wife's telling me about one of her friends or something. That's when I go for the anal popper.
And we're back. Chris and Gio here. And also reminding you to please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show. And Gio, we've been getting a lot of incredible reviews, so thanks to everybody who's already done it. We're at five
stars.
That's
very nice. Thank you.
Five stars, Gio.
Five stars.
Roll classics. Now, this next clip comes from Teabag in Durham, and I won't read the entire email, but he's requesting a particularly historic moment from the Rotten Tomatoes game.
This comes from Adam Carolla Show 2385 from August 2018. The guests were Dennis Miller and Owen Benjamin, along with Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, of course. They play the Rotten Tomatoes game with Dennis Miller, and it proves to be a very important game, one for the record books.
You ready to play the game, Dennis?
I am ready, and I finished second. I have one last step to ascend to, the heights, isn't it?
Listen to that noise, that's a high falsetto voice, that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game, you know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right. The theme, Dawson. Max Batta, go get those books and just tell someone to look through those goddamn books.
We have someone doing that.
Drive me nuts now. I know it's just a picture in a book I wrote.
Where is it? I don't believe it exists.
I know. I've been searching Busch Gardens, any Busch Gardens stories, the word grandfather.
Why not just get all the pictures and just look at the pictures? There's only a handful of pictures.
They're scattered throughout the book, though.
But don't we have them on a computer that just has pictures?
I looked through all that, and this is the closest one that we could find.
Listen, everybody else participating in the movie game today, Carolla is takeable today because he's scattered by the inability of them to find the picture.
I'm diminished. I'm severely diminished by this picture that's in one of my books that I clearly see in my head.
I think,
or maybe it's just in amongst the pictures.
Okay,
Just look in the pictures. We'll see what happens.
On a side note, we are looking at a picture of Sonny and Natalia Carolla in 70s clothing. That is haunting.
Is it?
Yes, don't you see?
Kids.
Oh, my God.
Let's hope they're not married to the childhood I had. All right, here we go. This just picture my grandpa in front of his driveway, in front of his house. All right, here we go, Dawson.
All right, we have just entered the month of August. So for this month's namesake, the stoned pelican and himself, these are some of Mike August's favorite and non-favorite movies.
An almost randomest collection
like
of films.
Went around the Cape of Good Hope for that one.
And Dennis, I hate to correct you because you're almost always correct, but you were in third place last time, not second.
Well, I'm
important. Sneaking ahead.
Trying to be optimistic.
We begin with a movie that it should be easy for you guys to start. Mike August considers this film one of his favorites of all time. He says, quote, every scene is a classic in 1972's The Godfather.
Mm. He's right.
He's kind of right.
All right. So we know we're up high. But again,
critics are pretty hard on this.
Shut up, Brian.
Hey, could I ask you something? How cool would it be if Trump came into the Manafort trial with Manafort's older brother, Vincenzo Manafort, from the old
time? Yeah, yep. And didn't say anything, just brought him there.
Yep. A button man.
All right, so how did the critics like it back in the day? Sometimes you wax poetic about these movies, but you'll find, the Blues Brothers is like 50% or something insane, you know?
I will say it was a highly anticipated movie. The book was a big hit. Famously, Robert Evans acquired it. Marlon Brando was the biggest star in the world.
Hey, the name Bob Evans gets ink, baby.
Right.
All right, I've locked in my number. Go ahead, Dennis Miller.
Well, listen, I think of the film, obviously, as Coppola. Bob Evans, I think of as a sausage breakfast place, but I'm sure he did purchase the pride, but I think at that point the onus became keeping him away from the set. I got to just say 100, because what am I doing? It's The Godfather. So I don't care what they said. I don't care if I go back down to fourth place. I will give this, well, I don't know. Do they ever give 100? I'll say 100.
You 100. Did on
that. They do give hundreds.
They do give hundreds. Yeah. All right.
I'm guessing there's one or two bad reviews from back in the day that have not aged well, unlike this film, which has aged fantastically. So I said 98.
Mm-hmm. I went 96.
I went 99.
Somebody's on the nose.
That is kind of the fun part. I don't always like doing the ones that everyone knows are in the 90s because it. You know, how do we separate anyone with that? But someone will get it on the nose is the part I do like about it, except for I'm going to be angry when it's not me.
Get ready to get angry. The Godfather is certified fresh at 98%.
Oh, damn it.
Audience and critics at 98 together.
Very
unified.
Consistent. Wow.
That's right. The Peloton remains intact. Next.
Yeah, but Brian gets a minus 5 points on that, so he's...
Two negative reviews.
Starting at...
Still within defense. Hailing distance.
Absolutely. I like your positivity.
Of this next film, Mike August says, quote, great characters, no weak links. The movie is 1982's Diner.
Classic. Dead classic.
I will say this about Diner. I've said in the past, I saw this in the theater when I was young, and I really enjoyed this movie. And I remember saying throughout the years, how come this doesn't pop up on cable more? Well, it is. Recently, just recently, the last couple of weeks or months, this thing got into some sort of rotation on HBO or Showtime or something, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Holds up nicely. Great movie. Lots of young stars.
Who we got in Diner?
Oh, Mickey Rourke and Daniel Stern. Daniel Stern.
Steve Gutenberg.
The greats.
And Kevin Bacon, Paul Reiser.
And
Timothy Daly.
Tim Daly,
wow.
Yeah.
And Ellen Barkin, a young Ellen Barkin.
Yeah. Ellen Barkin, yeah.
All right, so... Good movie. Nice little slice of life. Lots of funny stuff going on. And... What can... who? I'm going to get angry because you're going to find X amount of critics who went like, meh. And it's like, I don't know. It's a comedy. You didn't feel like with 60%?
I think this is Barry Levinson's first movie.
It is definitely Barry Levinson. I'm not sure if it's his first.
It's early Barry Levinson.
Okay. I am going to lock in my number. Dennis, how say you?
Well, two things. This is Gene Shalit reviewing Diner. No weak links! But many sausage links in Barry Levinson's Diner. Secondly, I'm looking at a picture of the Diner cast here, and unbelievably, like a Blessed Mary in a oil track on a driveway in Mexico, I'm seeing a vague hint of your grandfather in a safari suit.
I'm going nuts, by the way, that I can't find that picture. Look in the general pile of pictures.
Okay.
Old man, safari
I'm going to say 84.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
I went a little higher. I said 92.
I went a little lower and a little higher at 87.
I've never seen it. Got to put this on the list, but from the way you have described it, I said 86.
You can borrow my DVD copy.
Perfect.
Might have to engage the slaughter rule. Diner is certified fresh at 92%.
Oh, come on! No. Has that ever happened?
Not two in a row.
I'm going to screw this up.
I do not think that. Now, Brian is down minus 10 points.
And by the way, after Diner and Body Heat, what the hell happened to Mickey Rourke? You would have thought he was going to be the next James Dean. And boy, it went downhill like a log in a flume at Disneyland after that.
Yeah, or Busch Gardens.
Some guys just have too much. Yeah. You know, he was too good looking. He was too good of an actor. And some guys just, want to screw that up.
Yeah, big star charisma in Body Heat when he's looking at Bill Hurd going, counselor, this is dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
You would have thought at that point he was the next big thing.
All right. What's next?
Next up, I'll tell you that Mike August thinks the entire Marvel movie library sucks.
Yeah.
He says, quote, "It's the same stupid movie over and over again." This film was the catalyst for all of his hatred. Starring Robert Downey Jr. and Jeff Bridges before tooth loss made his cheeks sink in. It's 2008's Iron Man.
Hated the original.
I like the original. And this is why I think I get along so well with Mike when we travel the country. We never discuss movies, but we both have a simpatico on loving Diner, although we've never been discussed in hating all comic book movies, even though they're good movies sometimes. Just the general idea of cranking out another one, spinning off another character. This movie is fun. It really lets you know how charismatic Robert Downey Jr. is.
Yes.
And had a lot of good stuff to it. A little car and architecture centric, and I like that. Mm-hmm.
Perfect for you.
So maybe that living on that spaceship in Malibu and having your Audi R8 parked down beneath you is something that appealed to me. But I think the critics agreed this was a good movie as well. I've locked it in. Dennis Miller, how say you?
Well, two things. I remember the one year, my first year on Saturday Night Live, Robert Downey Jr. was in the cast. He was an irrepressible young man. I can remember Lauren saying, you should get to know everybody else in the cast. And I took everything at, you know, that Lauren's word was the law. So I asked young Robert to go out, and we went to dinner, and then we went to meet his girlfriend down on 14th Street near Union Square at a pool room to shoot pool right near Lou Chow's. And it was a 16 or 17-year-old Sarah Jessica Parker. And
that's
my memory of them, how absolutely in love and sweet they were with each other. And secondly, I would say this could be a big difference between critics and people on this one, right, Ace? Is this where the birth of that schism starts? Because I do remember liking this movie, but did critics like it, or did they start already to be dismissive of comic book things? I'm going to say 70.
Mm. Yeah, you also have to remember, thematically, the guy was a munitions guy, a defense contractor who saw the light, which I think is good for 10% or 12% from the critics.
Yeah,
they
right.
like that theme, you know. Right. If he was gay and had been recycling the entire time, it'd be up into the high 90s. Go ahead, Brian.
This is a rare.
That, of course, was Hulk. That was the
fault. That's right. This is a rare example of where they had a massive hit. Let's say $600 million or something. I think it was well reviewed. Everything went right for it. They're in line to make many, many, many more of these. And they said to one of the stars, Terrence Howard, how about you don't come back?
Well, I must say, Terrence Howard to Tarantino in Pulp Fiction, when you watch a movie like I did when I watched Pulp Fiction, I went, I don't know who that one guy was with the bed sheets, but I don't know why Tarantino cast him, but that guy was horrible.
Yeah.
I watched this movie and I was like, this movie was great, but why was Terrence Howard playing the super low energy admiral? You went with what?
I went with 94.
Oh, damn.
Everyone agrees this is a good movie. This was kicked off the whole thing. There wouldn't have been 12 more of these if it wasn't super
successful. I went with 83. I thought it was good. I thought it would score highly, and I just deducted 10 points because it was like a comic book movie.
Yeah, I'm going to lose again.
I saw this movie on a Greyhound bus from New York to D.C. with a bunch of drunk people on a public bus, scared for my life, and it still kept my attention. So I loved it. I gave it 85.
Can I tell you something? I saw this performed live on a Greyhound bus.
All right, Dawson.
Iron Man. Certified fresh. 94.
No!
Are you out of your mind?
You just hit that again?
Real. It can't be real.
He hit it again.
This is the quiz show scandal. I don't know about that.
You need to leave for Pechanga right now.
Save it for the cruise casino.
Yeah. I
was
going to say.
You know, I got to say this, Brian.
This is the best half day of my life.
Remember when the Latin baseball player at Dodger Stadium hit two grand slams in one inning?
Yeah. Fernando Tatis?
I think.
No. His name was Javier Pechanga.
So
whoever it was,
there are things in life where you go, all right, the guy just kicked a 63-yard field goal, and you go, well, at some point someone will kick a 64-yard field goal, and there's a lot of that in life, but land speed records were meant to be broken. I do not think that anyone will ever hit three grand slams
in the same inning
or two ever again. And if Brian keeps up on this clip, obviously, it'll be a record that stands the time.
We got to retire
the
game.
When our grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren...
How do I screw this up?
Sex robots are playing the Rotten Tomatoes game that will not beat Brian's score. Yes.
Ace, a trio like this has not been seen since Art Arfin's handed it off to Craig Breedlove, who handed it off to Gary Gobley.
Wow. The blue flame. Nobody knows land speed records. He just peeled off three guys
who set land speed records. It's like Johnny Vandermeer throwing back-to-back no-hitters. No one's going to break that record. There's going to be three no-hitters in a row.
Well,
there's not going to be three nine-inning games pitched in a row anymore.
Now, Brian.
Nobody goes through nine.
Let's not pop the cork on the champagne yet, because we've all played the game where he pulls out a funky movie and you can be 14 or 17 or 22 points off.
You might think I'm basking in my own glory right now, and
terrified.
By every right I should be. I'm consumed with fear of how I'm going to fumble at the goal line. I'm consumed with self-doubt.
If you get five right on the nose, you get pulled out back like Joe Bob Briggs. Casino and beaten.
We cry conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. All right, and
you could take the money.
I find myself I don't know. Let's say Vince Vaughn and Rudy, where I find myself actually clapping for the other guy who I didn't like very much in the middle of the movie. That's what I feel about you, Brian. I'm rooting for you.
I'm the guy
now.
You don't like in this
in
analogy?
The middle of the movie, but now I'm actually rooting for you.
You have a grudging respect.
I would like
By
you.
By the way, after watching Giuliani for the last month, I'm beginning to think the Rudy who got ear-holed was not the one in the movie.
All right, let's go into the championship rounds.
Our next movie is one that Mike August thinks was, quote, so good, even Woody Harrelson couldn't ruin it. Tommy Lee Jones and Javier Bardem also star in the 2000 movie. No Country, 2007 movie, I'm sorry. No Country for Old Men.
No what?
No Country for Old Men.
Oh, okay.
We love this movie. I love this movie. That's why I'm so simpatico with Mike. I don't even know if I talk that much about this movie. It's clearly one of my favorite movies of the last decade and more. I found out that there was no real soundtrack on this movie, which was even more impressive because I didn't notice no music in this movie. Javier Bardem is Tommy Lee Jones. Everyone is great in this movie. I love this movie. And Brian, this is great news for you.
This is great because we all know this is a very good movie.
Right. So this is one of those, what you don't want is one of those, Weekend at Bernie's where it could be 9%, it could be 41%, it could be, 22%. This is 90 plus. So you're in a safe zone. I'm going to lock in my number. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, I got to roll the dice here, and going off what somebody asserted earlier, there are hundreds. I'll say 100.
That's not a bad guess.
Paul, Brian?
I think the violence may have turned some people off, but this is an undeniably great movie, 93.
I said 97.
I'm rooting for Brian on this one because I also said 93.
No way.
No Country for Old Men is certified fresh at 93.
No. Who said 93?
Bald and Gina, but...
Adam, not like it matters, but what was your score?
97.
Okay.
The greatest day of my life.
I'm starting to think there's collusion.
I'm looking at Gmail. I'm not even typing anything.
Wow, this is the greatest thing ever.
I feel like I'm in Chicago for Babe Ruth calling his shot or something. I can say I was here.
How many listeners aren't buying this?
Most.
No, they're all buying it. Look, there's a... There's an element to this game, which is some of these scores have been seen and probably seen by Bull Bryan and what he does and research and his...
But
you still then would be tasked with memorizing the score of every movie randomly that's ever been put out. Or not every movie that's ever been put out. But you still would have... I've seen the score for No Country for Old Men at some point when I was sitting at my computer with a glass of wine 6 years ago just scanning around. But that means I would have to commit it to memory.
And whether Mike likes them or not, so far they've all been undeniably big hits.
Yes.
He's not wearing an earpiece, is he? Like Goldfinger?
Can I take a knee on this last one?
He's got a spotter up in the hotel.
That's right. I scratch my nose.
That's right.
All right, here we go. Last one. This is it. Minus 20. Going in, minus 20. Now,
I'm going to screw this up so badly.
Dennis, the record.
That's unbelievable.
The record is
four.
The record is held by Gina Grad at four. So, Brian is minus 20.
Was held, because if he plays this right tactically, I think he's 24 ahead. He'll beat that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's 20. Yeah. He's 20 minus 20. So, okay, here we go.
The last film will be a complete. Bob Crane made this movie in outside of Tucson. Anyway,
with some gals he met at a local pub. All right.
Our final movie takes place in the already hated by Mike August Marvel Universe. He says, quote, where Chris Hemsworth reprises his role as the Nordic legend in 2013's Thor: The Dark World.
And how many Thors have there been, and which one is this? This is the second
this
one?
This is the second one of three.
Well, there was two Thors. They were both married to Liz Montgomery. One was Dick Stark and one was Dick Stark.
All right, this
so
is
I know he hails originally from a gay bar called Asgarden.
Right.
Thank you, Dennis.
Jokes from the Rat Pack stage act.
This was a good movie. Is this the first one? Second one. Oh, let's see. The second one? I think this is sort of Iron Man-esque and that people liked it. I can't remember the second one. Was the second one with all the humor in it, or was that the third one?
The third one.
Oh. Brian's...
I got great news for everyone who hates me. I have no idea.
Just say everyone.
Everyone. Cut that last part out. I didn't see this movie. I didn't even bother seeing this movie, so I have no idea what the score is.
So the first one was good. The second one was good and funny, allegedly, or had some humor in it.
The third one now.
The third one, but this is in between.
Right.
All right.
Keep in mind, this is the one that begat sort of a sea change in the whole Thor universe.
Oh, boy. This could be tough. Yeah. Dennis Miller, how say you?
Well, I remember Tom Hiddleston gave a very low-key performance. I also think that I sense a theme here that we've gotten four films that are north of 90, and I'm wondering if you want to carry through with that. And I think this was reviewed well, so I'm going to say 95.
Damn!
That's very high. Brian?
I really don't know. Honestly, 55 would not surprise me. 85 would not surprise me. So I just took a stab and said 70.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I said
I
said 79.
Well, I'm really going just on the cast. We got Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston, Anthony Hopkins, Chris Hemsworth. I said 76.
Now, keep in mind, everyone, if this is what Dennis guessed at 95, was it?
It's going to put me over.
Not only is it going to put you over, but Gina will still wear the crown.
Come on,
that's what
Dennis.
I mean. No, that's what I mean. I'm going for the record now. I'm
right. Right.
Forget this game.
Small potatoes.
I think what Brian did there is he just sort of went into the four corner. He just said, like, look, I don't want to go 90
and risk a 50
risk
point.
Of 55 or something. So 70.
Well,
although, good call. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Thor: The Dark World is fresh at 66%.
Oh, my God. God.
That's
wow.
I was this close to crossing out 70 and riding 68.
All right.
My God.
Let's do this.
This is exciting.
Excited.
Dennis Miller, back to the diner with you. You are off the podium.
Beautiful.
Big score of 70.
But did I get silver or gold? That's the question.
Adam Carolla, your score was 35.
That's a good score, man.
That's a great score and good enough for third place.
All right.
Oh, man.
That's what I like to hear.
Leaving Gina Grad with the silver at 21.
Take
and
Bob
Bryan's final
score. Down.
Oh, he's going to become so more incorrigible. Minus 16.
Oh,
the new record
God.
For the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
That's like watching Bob Beamon break the long jump record by foot in Mexico City or something. Bravo. That's unbelievable.
Minus the altitude.
I was terrified every moment after that second score. Like, oh, I'm going to screw this up. And it's every time I got a good score, it's like, it's going to get worse. The last one's going to be worse.
The harder you fall.
I'm going to shift a little the hate. One more reason to hate Mike August.
Yeah.
He basically brought this all on. It was his doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell my grandkids about this someday.
Me
negative
too.
16, that can never be broken.
I can't believe my four is a distant second now.
I didn't edge you out either.
Insane.
Wow.
Dennis, it's the Rotten Tomatoes game. I'm so glad you were part of this.
Nice to talk to you all.
And there you have it, Carolla Classics for May 19th, 2019. Thank you again. We love doing this show and really appreciate all the feedback, all the submissions, and getting everybody involved. We'll see you next weekend. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.